This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on January 24, 2008. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The open session of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, January 24th, 2008 will come to order. The first item on the agenda is correction and approval of the minutes. Mr. Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of December 14th, 2007, as set forth in agenda document number 08-01.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes by a vote of both commissioners present. And I note that that establishes the quorum under the revised Directive 10. I'm going to first make an administrative announcement. Directive 10 sets forth the Commission's procedures for meeting and voting on various documents. Last year, in anticipation of the unfortunate situation in which we find ourselves with only two serving commissioners, the Commission revised Directive 10 to provide for meetings and other procedures in the absence of four commissioners. There are certain actions which under the Act require the vote of four commissioners, and obviously the Commission cannot take actions that are statutorily mandated for four commissioner vote. There are, however, a number of other actions the Commission can take, and so we did revise that internal directive to allow us to continue to meet and conduct business with only the two of us present. We will be publishing the revised directive in the Federal Register shortly, and we will make it available now to anyone who is interested in it. I also note that we have a withdrawal of Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-36, which is on the agenda. And I just want to note that in the withdrawal letter, the counsel for the requester makes some statements regarding 11 CFR 2.2D1, which is the Commission's Sunshine Act regulation, and it defines meeting for that purpose as the collegiate deliberation of four commissioners. The Sunshine Act rules apply to the Sunshine Act and not to the Commission's meetings generally. I suppose if one pressed the argument, we could try to argue that we were exempt from the Sunshine Act, but our counsel advises us quite correctly that the statute there would control, and in essence the regulation was written in contemplation that we would always have six commissioners, and so we are also complying with the Sunshine Act as to our executive sessions and this open meeting. But the Sunshine Act regulation does not prohibit us from meeting, discussing these advisory opinions, and conducting other business which we may conduct under the statute. The next item on the agenda is the election of a vice chairman, and there are a number of things we have to do a little bit differently with only two of us, and one is that by custom, though not by regulation or rule, the chair does not normally make motions. However, with only two of us, I'm going to depart from the custom and make a motion. Poetry slam.
Uh-oh.
Or issue ad sham. No one can beat her. She's quick with the meter. Her grammar definitive without split infinitive. As for her family of great kids, she has three, and also a great mate. 'Tis a pleasure to nominate outlasting Stephen, Hans, and Bob, Commissioner Ellen L. Weintraub, as vice chair of this small commission with whom I share a vital mission, keeping campaign finance fine and celebrating June the 9th.
I'm speechless. People from outside the building will not understand when we have high-level departures. I usually do poetry at the at their departures, but this is a first. Well, I suppose I could say that I'm shocked. I had no idea I was going to be nominated. Oh, I guess I did. So, this is a very unusual circumstance. I very much appreciate the effort that went into that. That's very funny. I want a copy of that. And my spouse and children will also appreciate being mentioned. And I guess, given the circumstances, I accept the nomination. I seem to recall in times past, sometimes the people nominated didn't actually vote on their own election. They abstained out of a sense of humility, I suppose. I don't have that luxury because I won't win if I if I don't vote. Nothing's going to happen because we need both of us to vote on it. So
I would note this is one of the things that is specifically provided for under the revised Directive 10. And in case anyone's interested, it lasts for as long as we have the two commissioners. So all in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion is agreed to by the vote of both commissioners present. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to serve with honor.
The next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2007-32, speechnow.org, by Counsel Bradley Smith, Stephen Hursting, Chip Miller, Stephen Simpson, and Paul Sherman. Agenda document 0804, submitted late.
Sorry, I'm still overcome. I don't have my stated motions in front of me either. I move that we suspend the rules for the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider agenda document 08-04.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion is agreed to by vote 2-0. We have from the council's office, Esa Safara.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The agenda document before you is a draft advisory opinion in response to a request from SpeechNow.org. SpeechNow is an unincorporated nonprofit association that states that its mission and major purpose is to advocate the election of candidates in the 2008, 2010, and future federal election cycles. It plans to solicit funds from individuals and pay for advertisements advocating the election and defeat of federal candidates. SpeechNow asks whether it must register as a political committee and whether funds received from individuals will constitute contributions subject to the Act's amount limitations. The draft concludes that once SpeechNow receives in excess of $1,000 in contributions or in excess of $1,000 in expenditures, expenditures in excess of $1,000 in one calendar year, it would satisfy the statutory definition of political committee and would have to register as a political committee because its major purpose is federal election activity. The draft also concludes that funds received by SpeechNow would constitute contributions as defined in the Act and Commission regulations and would be subject to the Act's amount limitations on individuals, including the individual biennial aggregate contribution limit. I'd be happy to address any questions you have. Thank you.
Would you like to discuss it?
Sure. Why don't you start?
Thank you. I appreciate the council's analysis, and I have a draft statement which is available out in the lobby for anyone who wants to look at it in more detail, and it's draft because I intend to expand it slightly before I post the final version. I agree with the council's analysis as to the expenditures, the contributions, and the result that SpeechNow meets the statutory definition of political committee and therefore would be required to register with the commission and report. I do not agree, however, that SpeechNow, that we can permissibly impose the $5,000 contribution limit on donations to SpeechNow. And this is a difficult and clearly disputable question. I acknowledge that, and it is probably a question that in the final analysis would have to be determined by the federal courts. However, the one comment we had on it essentially argues that SpeechNow is asking us to declare the statute or a portion of the statute unconstitutional. And that is not how I read SpeechNow's request, nor is it my position that we could or should do that. Rather, what we have is a question about the application of the statute to a particular set of circumstances. And in applying the statute, the commission is not only free, but in fact is required to apply the statute in a way that's consistent with the Constitution of the United States. I think that's a self-evident proposition. There are all manner of arguments about the circumstances in which we would do that, what kind of considerations we would take into take under consideration. But, for instance, in the series of advisory opinions to the Socialist Workers Party, we are, in essence, reaffirming a constitutional exemption from requirements of the Act which would otherwise apply. Now, in this case, I look primarily to the California Medical Association opinion, which specifically reserved this question of the applicability of the $5,000 contribution limit to organizations that do not make contributions to candidates. And I note two features of that. The first is that the best analogy I can see to where we have clear law is on independent expenditures. And contrary, in my view, to SpeechNow's arguments that they should not be required to register and report, the rule, the constitutional rule on independent expenditures, is that they are unlimited in amount, but that the persons making the independent expenditures do have to file reports with the commission. Thus, in my view, if SpeechNow has an argument that that contributions to them should not be limited, that does not necessarily follow that SpeechNow is not required to register and report those contributions. Because the other thing I see about SpeechNow's request is that it's quite analogous to an independent expenditure by an individual. That is to say that there was no constitutional reason for limiting the amount of independent expenditures, and the difference, as I see it, between what SpeechNow proposes and an independent expenditure by an individual or by a legal person is that SpeechNow wants to do it in association. And so we would, if we conclude that that associational activity subjects them to the contribution limit, we would be concluding that there's a speech right, which is unlimited, but somehow by invoking associational rights along with the speech rights, suddenly their speech is limited. At least the associational rights are limited to the amount of $5,000. I see no valid constitutional purpose in doing that, and thus I would hold that the $5,000 limit should not be applied in this case. Madam Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hate to have to disagree with you. So soon after we have begun our joint association here, I do take a different view. I think that if the statute is ambiguous, then we have the obligation to interpret it and to interpret it in a way that and to look to court opinions for guidance as to how we should interpret it. But here, the statute is not ambiguous. The statute is actually pretty clear, and I think our counsel did a good job of laying out the straightforward analysis that we have used for many years. It's the same analysis we used in the 527 cases. If there are $1,000 in contributions or expenditures, and the organization's major purpose is federal campaign activity, then under the statute, they're a political committee. That's what the law says. And we know about the major purpose part because the Supreme Court has specifically ruled on that and provided us with that limiting construction. So, of course, we apply that limiting construction because that's what the Supreme Court said. But I don't think that it's our prerogative to look at a clear statute and say, we think there are constitutional arguments here, and therefore we are going to reinterpret the constitutional limits on campaign finance regulation. I think that really is the role of the courts. And that's why I think the draft is basically right. There are a couple of technical corrections that I think need to be made. There were a couple of citation errors that we picked up after the draft got posted, and it's my understanding that council is going to recirculate that and then repost the draft with those very technical changes made. But I think that the requesters and the chairman make Very interesting argument. I've seen this argument in academic circles before. It's not a new argument. People have wondered whether this might be the law someday if it were ever posed to a court. But it is not. It's not the law now. This question has never been squarely presented to a court. It goes back to provisions in the law that are over 30 years old. We're not talking about provisions that were enacted recently in BCRA. This goes back to FECA provisions from the 1970s. And interestingly enough, although it's been debated in academic circles for a while, no one has yet presented it squarely. And I think that the requesters have done an admirable job of really framing the question in its starkest terms. They clearly went out of their way to say, yes, this is our major purpose, and we're going to engage in express advocacy, and we're going to solicit in ways that would generate contributions under the commission rules, and they didn't leave much ambiguity about what they were planning on doing here. For over 30 years, express advocacy has been the touchstone. That's been the thing that most people agreed that we could regulate. There's been a lot of debate over exactly what it means, and whether we should go further than that, but since FECA was enacted, since the Buckley decision, that at least has been held as the touchstone for what campaign finance regulation could reach. And this presents a very interesting legal question, where the requesters come in and they say, yes, we're going to engage in express advocacy, and we still don't think that the regulations ought to reach us. And I'm sure this is headed to the courts, and I'm sure the courts are going to have a wonderful time with these arguments. But I don't think it's ultimately a question for us to resolve, and particularly not in the AO context, even if we had a full complement of commissioners. In a rulemaking context, at least, we publish it in the Federal Register, a detailed notice of what questions we're going to be considering. We give people usually at least a month to submit comments. We have hearings, and there's a lot of deliberation that goes into it. But an AO, by definition, is supposed to be a truncated process. We only have 60 days to issue an AO, and it's designed for individual questions. And this is an individual question, but obviously it has ramifications far beyond the specific requesters. As I said to Mr. Keating out in the hallway, I don't think that anybody actually could silence him, and it's not my intent to do so here. But I just don't think that we have the prerogative to, even if we had a full commission, to come up with the ruling that they would like to see. So, if we were able to issue an advisory opinion, I would support the draft.
I just I want to note just about the advisory opinion process that the reasons Commissioner Weintraub gave may well be reasons that we ought, when considering constitutional, or we should, when considering constitutional issues, consider them very carefully, and I acknowledge that. And it may well be that something like the abstention doctrine that federal courts use would apply, that is to say that in recognition of the expertise of courts in this area, or for a variety of other reasons, the commission may not wish to get to reach these constitutional issues. But our difference is whether we have the capability to, and I do think we have the ability to, recognizing that any such decision that we made would likely, probably almost certainly, be challenged in court and ultimately resolved there. But I don't think if we in good faith conclude that a particular application would be unconstitutional, that we're obliged to enforce the law in an unconstitutional manner in order to trigger a court challenge. As I mentioned, we have dealt with the Socialist Workers Party issue in the AO process, and so it seems to me really the difference is in what context or how much guidance we have to have. And some would say, and I acknowledge it's a reasonable position, that it's only when we have very specific guidance, such as we do in Socialist Workers Party, but there the facts change each time, and so fact-based decision could come out differently. And indeed, the last time Socialist Workers Party was before us, I concluded that they were no longer entitled to the constitutional exemption, and that was a 4-2 vote because the issue there was whether there was some level of government harassment, and I know the Socialist Workers Party was a really big thing, and people were really worried about it in the 1970s. But by the 21st century, I just didn't think it was that big of an issue anymore, and the evidence that they brought forward was not compelling to me. So clearly we can make those sorts of decisions in the advisory opinion process. Though I acknowledge that there are valid reasons counseling for restraint in doing that. Would you like to make a motion?
Sure. We've been advised in other contexts that we should adopt the pose of the humble regulator, so I guess that's who I am today.
It's interesting that some of the people who wanted us to be humble in that context are here before us today wanting us to be bold.
It all depends on what you want to get done, I guess. And I suppose we should also say that, you know, we are trying to the best of our abilities to keep things functioning here as close to normal as possible in these fairly unusual circumstances, unprecedented, that we find ourselves in. So knowing that we can't issue an advisory opinion, we've decided that we're still going to make motions and have votes and be recorded on this to make a record of what we support. In any event, you know, people come in and ask us a question. We're doing our best to at least tell you how we would answer the question. So I wouldn't want anyone to be confused, though. We are not trying to issue a formal advisory opinion. We clearly understand that is something we cannot do with fewer than four commissioners. Having said that, and knowing that it's doomed to be unsuccessful, I move approval of agenda document 0804.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion fails to pass by a vote of 1-1, and the staff will send an appropriate letter, and a revised draft will be posted. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is advisory opinion request 2007-35, also submitted late. Madam Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules for the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider agenda document 0805. Is that which one we're doing now? 0805.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. That motion passes by a vote of 2-0. And from the General Counsel's office, we have Eric Hallstrom. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The draft advisory opinion set out in agenda document 0805 responds to a request by Free Cause Incorporated. Free Cause is a closely held, privately owned, for-profit corporation specializing in online communications. Free Cause has built and is marketing a internet browser toolbar to various nonprofit organizations. When an individual user uses the toolbar for internet searches or online shopping, Free Cause receives commissions from the internet search engine or the online retailer. Free Cause then shares a portion of these commissions with the individual toolbar user or the affinity sponsor. Free Cause proposes to expand its affinity program to federal political committees and qualified nonprofit corporations, including authorized candidate committees, separate segregated funds, non-connected political committees, and party committees. The draft advisory opinion concludes that Free Cause may enter into these proposed affinity programs with federal political committees and qualified nonprofit corporations without providing a prohibited corporate contribution or otherwise violating the Act or Commission regulations under certain conditions that are set out in the opinion. The Commission received no comments, and I'd be happy to address any questions the Commission might have.
Mr. Weintraub?
Sounds good to me.
So you mean that we could get an RNC toolbar on our browser? Is that the...
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm sure that was the intent of Mr. Reif and Mr. Sandler in submitting the request.
Well, maybe their clients wouldn't want one of those, but... I have no doubt that whatever is done for the DNC, if it isn't already being done for the RNC, it will be in about 30 seconds. So,
I'm sure that's the case. Would you like to move?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the draft as set forth in Agenda Document 0805.
All in favor will say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion fails to pass by a vote of 2 votes in the affirmative, no votes in the negative, and the council will send the appropriate letter and post the draft. As previously noted, advisory opinion request 2007-36 has been withdrawn. Madam Staff Director, are there any administrative announcements?
No, Mr. Chairman.
This meeting is adjourned.